Welcome, welcome everyone to The Rewind. I am Nikita.
And I'm Jewel.
It's good to see everybody. Well, I can't see you, but today we're going to be talking about movies that we've been watching, books that we've been reading, and games that are coming up. So it's a lot going on right now. It's a lot going on in the world. Sometimes it's kind of cool just to relax and kind of just, you know, chill out, watch some things, read some things, play some things, listen to some things, whatever you want to do. And this is what we've been watching, what we're excited about, what's coming up, and what we've been reading, and what we think maybe you might like to read too. So we're sharing that. So Jewel, what have you been watching?
Oh, I've been watching so many things, and I'm excited to share them here. The things that I've been watching way in the past and that I've really enjoyed and I hope to come in the future, and I hope they get renewed. So the question is, what have I been watching? I started The Monkey a while ago. I can't remember when it dropped. And it's based on Stephen King's book and novel, The Monkey, and it's an evil possessed monkey. I've been watching it on Hulu, and I only got halfway through it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I'm almost done. It is a solid horror. It is gruesome. It is gory. It is slightly comical if you were to think about it. And it's really, really well represented. Represented towards the monkey, the toy mechanical evil grinning monkey. So that was really great. And that's on Hulu. I also have been watching Marvel Zombies on Disney Plus. We know that there's an upcoming big giant cinematic universe replay with Doomsday, and all the big players are coming. But if people really were paying attention, it also interacts with What If comics and the timelines of Loki and WandaVision and obviously Captain America with Anthony Mackie, all these other tiny little shows that were big blockbuster budget shows, but didn't make it to the big screen. Kamala Khan for Ms. Marvel, they are all going to join Doomsday. And in order to be ready for that, you have to know what it's going to be about. So Marvel Zombies on Disney Plus is animated, and it has been wonderful. Now, since I mentioned Anthony Mackie, he also has another show, Twisted Metal, based on the game on Peacock. Love it. Season 2 just wrapped up August 28th. I'm a little behind. I'm still making my way through season 1, but it is hilarious. It is funny. It hits slightly like the video game, so I'm kind of loving that. And it's just a bunch of twisted characters that make you laugh, make you cry, make you angry. And I really am loving that. That's on Peacock, again, based on a video game. Brilliant Minds is coming back for season 2. I'm looking forward to that. And one shout out that I want to say for a show that I really, really was a big fan of that just wrapped up, I believe, this year is The Dragon Prince. The Dragon Prince finished all the chapters. It's based on graphic novels. And that was on Netflix. And they have finished all of the storyline this year. But there's more. And there's more to be done. And if you are a fan of The Dragon Prince with Ezrin and Callum and Rayla the elf, they are right now running a Kickstarter program and begging all the companies, Netflix, Hulu, Paramount, anyone and everyone that's willing to pick them up for the rest of the chapters and the rest of the stories, pick them up, because we can't wait to see the Dragon Prince turn into the Dragon King. There's so much more of that story to go. Those are just the top few that I've been watching, the things that I've been really just deep in. Again, Twisted Metal, not finished with it, but the last episode dropped, I think, August 28th. The Monkey, brand new, Stephen King novel based on Hulu. And Brilliant Minds season 2 is starting up here soon. I think the first episode of season 2 had just started last week. That's a great show and so many more to talk about. But I'm interested to hear what you're watching, Nikita.
Well, I haven't seen any of those. So, and I guess I'm going to have to put that in my queue because I like new things. I mean, like I had never seen P-Valley. And, you know, since you watched The Gilded Age finally, and I'm super, super happy you did, because I think it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant show, The Gilded Age. And I started watching P-Valley, which I didn't think I would like, but I do like it. And because you know, I like when people give me suggestions about things to watch. And 9 times out of 10, I will. I'll put it in queue. You know, life be life in. So you have to, because I have a lot of different things that I like to watch. Like I saw Black Rabbit. Black Rabbit was so brilliant. Plus, I'm a fan of Jude Law. Not everybody's a fan of Jude Law, but I've been watching Jude Law's for a long time. And I was glad that he finally came back on television. And I thought, wow, I haven't seen him in so long. And he comes back and he makes this movie, Black Rabbit. Actually, someone in my family suggested that. And again, sometimes I'm like, when people suggest movies to me, I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I watched it and I got kind of teary-eyed. And it was really good. And Black Rabbit is about a guy that owns a restaurant. It's a family restaurant. And all the things that happen when you mix family and friends in a business. And you have a brother, Jason Bateman being the brother, who isn't all the way, you know, a good guy, and you always have to clean up his mess. It's really good. Not going to spoil it. Hope you watch it. It's on Netflix. It's an excellent, excellent flick. I'm glad to see that The Conjuring made a crap ton of money. Still have to go to the theater to watch it, and it's good because, you know, I'm a Conjuring fan, as I said before in the last Rewind, and Conjuring and Sinister. Two things I really enjoy. Two scary movies I really enjoy. And it grossed $404 million worldwide. It's the highest grossing film in the Conjuring series. And I'm happy for that. They did really aggressive marketing for it. And I guess they're going to go turn around and make it like a series or something. And I'm kind of excited about that because I don't want that story to end. I watch these shows and I sometimes get upset when there's an ending to the shows, you know, like I am a huge fan of anything that's super scary. We just got through watching what I think is one of the best jump scares out there. And we're going to be talking about it next week. And I'm just like, oh, you know, in the Alien series, Alien Earth. It was so good. I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to hear what Jules got to say about it when that time comes. Alice in Borderland is back. Alice in Borderland 3 is up. It happens to be number one as of today. Very exciting to see that. Black Phone 2 is going to be in the theaters or is in the theaters. Black Phone 1 was good, so I'm glad to see they got big actors on Black Phone 2. Jewel had brought that up initially, and I had already seen it. I was kind of excited. Another film I've got in the queue to watch is Wayward, and anything with Toni Collette, I'm going to watch it. I love Toni Collette, so anything with her in it, because she's going to bring it. She's a very versatile actress. She's brilliant. She can play comedy. She can play drama, and she can play horror. So this is going to be a good one, I think, to watch. I'm going to queue up and put in my little queue the things that Jewel mentioned, because she's really good about these movies that she watches. I'm always like amazed how good they are. She's got really good taste. Mine is all over the place. You know, I typically stay in my lane, which is like super hard. But sometimes I'll watch a movie that has me going, wow, what? Like Ruth and Boaz. It's a Tyler Perry flick. It's on Netflix. It's about a vineyard. It's a good story, you know, a good, solid, not scary, not hard, kind of a love story. And it's kind of good. My brother, everybody sends me these movies to watch. My friends, my brother, you know, and he said, The Man in My Basement. Now, This is a Walter Mosley original flick, and it's on Hulu. And I was really kind of shocked when I read the reviews. I'm like, I think people don't understand certain things. Walter Mosley, Devil in Blue Dress, very good writer, you know. And it's a this version of it is 2025 thriller film directed and written by Nadia Latif. And based on the 2004 novel by the same name by Walter Mosley, who co-wrote the screenplay. It stars Corey Hawkins, Willem Dafoe. I love Willem Dafoe. I think that man can act his butt off. Okay. Anna Diop and Tamara Lawrence. Those are things that I'm very curious to start watching. Also, I hope that Jewel and I watch Cobweb. We have different tastes, and then we have combined tastes. And I think Cobweb is going to be something that we both enjoy because we both like horror. And so I think that when we do that, we may end up, I don't know, once we discuss it. I know that obviously that our podcasts are about stuff that we watched. And I know a lot of people, you know, we do spoilers. We give it enough time to be out there. And we like to give our takes on it. Everybody has a take. I don't believe all the time. No, not even all the time. Most of the time. I don't really listen to critics because I can critique my own stuff. Jewel can critique her own stuff, you know. And 9 times out of 10, we're on the same page. And I'm often wondering what these critics are looking at. So it'll be interesting to see that and hear that. I mean, I don't know. Are you interested in watching him, Jewel? I'm not so sure if that's something that I'm interested in watching, but I'm curious on your view about it.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm not interested in watching him. Kudos to the people that have decided to delve into that. That ain't my cup of tea. I don't think I very rarely like movies that are about sports, first of all. And then second of all, I already know how. I mean, not personally, I haven't played football. It's not gridiron. But I really don't. I don't know. I know there's always a social commentary whenever it's Jordan Peele. But I will say I don't care for football. So I'm not interested. I think that's the easiest way to say it. But I really love the ones that you've already mentioned. And I must say that I do love Toni Collette. I have it in my queue the moment I saw, when I saw it was an upcoming flick, I watched the trailer and I was really excited to see that. The rest of the things that you mentioned, we watched Alien Earth and that the jump scares were amazing. The characters were great and phenomenal. I love that they interwove a lot of stuff. I can't wait to have the podcast on that. So I'm excited to really take a deep dive into that. With regard to things that I'm looking forward to in the future, because we talked about what we're watching now, I'm going to say that there's a whole list of things that I'm waiting for. For example, The Diplomat, October 16th, drops on Netflix. That's the one with Carrie Russell, Rufus Sewell, David Gayazi, and Allison Janney. That's the one where Carrie Russell, she's the diplomat in the UK and London. She's not very happy with the job. And everything that can go wrong will go wrong because her husband was the old diplomat before and nobody can stop crossing the lines. And he's so inappropriate all the time and does things he's not supposed to. And so I can't wait to see what happens there because it left and dropped in such a cliffhanger. So again, that's coming October 16th. If you have not seen the DC Superman 2025 movie, it is now on HBO Max. I went to the theater and I saw it. Y'all may want to see it. You may not. That's okay. I mean, how many times can you watch Superman the movie? I thought it was surprisingly good. I expected to not like it. So if you haven't seen it and you just want to know what all the hype is about, it is now on HBO Max. I'm excited for what to come soon is How to Train Your Dragon live action Peacock this year. This year's movie that came out right now, October 10th. That's coming out in October 10th. Anne Rice's The Talamasca. I have read every single book Anne Rice put out that had to do with vampires and then the witches and then obviously The Talamasca and some of the books on angels. The Talamasca is a group of individuals. If y'all think the Illuminati is real, in the world of Anne Rice's giant universe when it comes to witches and vampires and body walkers and spirits and all those other stuff. The Talamasca is the Illuminati. That's dropping on AMC Plus October 26th. I'm excited for that one. Welcome to Derry. I know Nikita is not interested to go to Derry, so don't want to see about Derry. So, but it's dropping October 26th. For those of you that want to see it, it's there. I'm a big fan of John Wick and everything about it. I was kind of on the fence with the Continental, the series, but I still want to know where everything is going. And the ballerina hits stars very soon if it's not already there. I have to check. And since Nikita brought up P-Valley, I'm so happy she's getting into it. I absolutely love P-Valley, and we are waiting for season 3. I've already seen season 1. I've seen season 2. It's been a hot minute. It's been so long. I think it started in 2022, but they've just, I think, wrapped up a bunch of things for the first few episodes, and the potential release is October to November. So if you have not caught P-Valley just yet, please, please, please check it out. You got all the time in the world. Lastly, Poker Face is a show on Peacock. It has run 1 season and 2 seasons. It hasn't been renewed for a 3rd season yet. It stars Natasha Lyonne as Charlie Kale. She's a lady who has a special power. It's not like a superpower, but in a world of our existence, it would be considered that she can tell when anyone is lying to her. She is a human walking lie detector. And because of it, she tried to game a lot of systems. It didn't work, particularly in the casino. And so mob bosses went after her. The CIA went after her. FBI went after her. And everywhere she goes, something horrible happens because we're just horrible people as human beings and everybody's lying. And inevitably, she has to solve certain mysteries because she's a nice person. She's shady, but she's a nice person. And she can read all the lies. So really, really cool. Again, it ended on a cliffhanger. I really want that to be renewed for season 3. So if y'all haven't checked Poker Face out, if you have not seen the series Poker Face, it is on Peacock, seasons 1 and 2. Please, please, y'all, just start watching it so we can get a season 3 and we can see what happened to Charlie. I really want to know where she at. What is she doing? What's going on? But yeah, I don't think I'm interested in him. Nikita, are there any things that you're looking forward to that's going to drop in the next month or two? Those are great. That's a great list. I wrote them all that you've already given.
Yeah, I am thinking of, there's a lot of stuff out. Like Gen V is out. I think if you have Prime, I know a lot of people don't watch Prime. I actually haven't watched this season of Gen V because I've given up the Prime for that reason, but there's always a way to watch. Okay, but I think that for me, I'm not saying I won't watch the Derry thing. I'm just not going to Derry, so there's a difference for me. I can watch anything Stephen King. I think Stephen King has a very creepy, scary mind, and it's always funny to me when I think about the stuff that he puts out and where his mind might go. I know, I don't understand. When I watch anything in Derry, I'm like, why are you people going to Derry? You all know what's happening in Derry. You know what the problem is. What are you doing? Okay. But I'm always glad when I see it, because, you know, I mean, it's kind of dope, right? It's always super scary, especially if you like horror. We know it, you know, gives us this view of Derry. Everything bad that happens in Derry. So that should be interesting. I think he had another little series that came out that was based off a prison in Derry. And it kind of cemented for me. Yeah, Derry's not really a cool place to vacation. But I can't wait to see it. And there's going to be a couple of things coming out. I think this is a hot year for him. And good or bad, it's horror. And we need some good horror. I don't know so much that I'll watch him. I'm not a football person. I don't really like sports like that. I do like everyone in the Wayans family. And I think Marlon Wayans is leading that. I hear good things about him. But once again, you know, make your decision yourself when you go to these movies. I don't let critics make decisions about movies for me. You know, I go to a movie, I like it or I don't. Like, for instance, Jewel and I disagree on Superman. It was not that I didn't really love it. I liked the end. I mean, because it was so like the dog. I like the dog a lot. Okay. And I don't want to tell the end, but you know, but I am somebody that doesn't like to watch a whole lot of remakes of things because that's not original to me. How much more Superman can you do? But I do think that it's a good thing when we're talking about interactive, you know, having more superheroes and more superheroes, and it helps for each new generation. You know, my generation is quite different. I've watched so many versions of Superman that it's exhausting, but it would be like Spider-Man. I loved when Spider-Man changed and actually ended up with a new Spider-Man. I thought that was genius. I thought that was necessary. And I thought that moved to the new time. You know, you can only have so many stories with Lex Luthor. You can have so many stories with, you know, the Man of Steel. But it was well done. And I always believe in giving Jack the jacket. That movie was well done. I sat in the theater and I watched it. And I watched it not to be super critical of it, but as you know, a fan of comic books, right? So it was well done, a lot of action, but I wasn't impressed with the story. A lot of people are, and I love that. I love that for them, and I love that they're, you know, making that money. I think I'm at this stage where I like new things, and I like originality a lot more. I think that's why a lot of time I watch a lot of Asian movies. You know, like Hellbound and stuff like that. And, you know, you're going to get like 20 episodes on a Netflix Asian movie. So that's a lot of watching, you know, like the Extraordinary Attorney Wu. You know, Jewel turned me on to that. I didn't know anything about it. And I fell in love with that. I hope there is a second season of that, by the way. I'm also waiting, and I really can't wait for, you know, Children of Blood and Bone. I think that is going to be a masterpiece. I think that Tomi Adeyemi deserves for them to put out this movie off of this most brilliant book, Children of Blood and Bone. Just a genius series. And I hope you all read it if you're interested. But I can't wait for that movie to come out. I think a lot of, like I said this before, sometimes they don't do well with books, but I think that this is going to be really spectacular. And I have real good feeling about it. That's not coming out in a couple of months, but you know, soon as I see when it, you know, gets its play, I know for sure we'll be talking about it. Jewel came out with a lot of good movies that I don't watch some of the series, but a lot of the movies I'm super interested in watching. I think what we're seeing right now is, I'm hoping anyway, people are starting to go back to the theaters. I think that it's important that you support these movies, because maybe if we don't, they'll stop making them, you know? And I also know that these actors realize that with streaming as their competition, they better put out a good movie. You know, it is important for them to, you know, be successful. Well, the only way they can be successful is you go and watch. But if you go and watch and it's a bust, that hurts their bottom line. So I hope that some of these actors that I see coming back, that you all will support, and you all will support some of the movies that we talked about. Jewel has great taste in film, cinema, and we both watch a lot of movies, you know? And I don't always agree, because that's, we're people, right? But I know that she watches it with a very, very critical eye. And that's important. So I respect, you know, her opinion on these movies. And if she says watch it, then you should watch it. I think it's incredibly important. And I am going to say, these are all the movies and TV shows. And there's so many more. But I want to make sure that you all are going to be, you know, also, as well as watching the movies, read some of the books. For instance, Washington Black. which we'll be doing a podcast on. We put it off for the action that's occurring in the world today. We try to stay honest with, you know, how our moral opinions, and that doesn't have to be yours, but how we see things. We enjoy these actors and these actresses. They work hard, but always remember, writers write. They write the screenplays, they write the books, you know, the producers, the editors, all of these people, you know, they have jobs, and it's important, you know, from the grip to the producer to the person who does the score. And we have to ensure that their voice gets heard and the message they're trying to put out, and we support that. And we also want to be able to support when people try to stop them from speaking or giving us their truth, however that happens, you know? So that's one of the things that I think is important to note. We are going to be doing Washington Black, and it's the third novel by Canadian author Essie Edugian. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correct. That's her book. She has a book. It's a bestseller, and it's called Washington Black. And the way you spell her name is E-S-I-E, D as in dog, U-G-Y-A-N, Essie Edugian. And it is about the life of George Washington Black, a young enslaved boy, and his adventures after he escapes from enslavement. I think it's important. Sterling K is in this movie. I think he is a brilliant, brilliant actor. I'm saying his name like we friends. He is also in Paradise, which is coming back, which I'm super excited about. And I hope Jewel's super excited about it, because that's such a good movie. I was kind of disappointed in the Emmys, not because there weren't good actors. This was a hotly contested Emmy. I mean, there were a lot of really good movies in this Emmys. And I just kind of wished and hoped to see, you know, some other people that I really think are really good actors get recognition. And I'm hoping the Oscars are going to be something else. You know, I want to see Sterling K. Brown win an Oscar. And I want to see him win an Oscar for, if not, you know, what he does in Paradise, or, you know, what he did in other movies. I hope he gets recognition for Washington Black. And I'm not sure that goes to that realm, but I think so. You know, I was a little disappointed in The Penguin, but I think that's going to be an Oscar runner also, The Penguin with Colin Farrell. And if you haven't seen The Penguin, watch it, because Colin Farrell, he is unbelievable in that. Unbelievable. He almost was unrecognizable. I was watching that movie, TV show, and didn't recognize him. I almost forgot he was the Penguin. That's how good it is. There's going to be a lot of really, really tight competition in the Oscars this year. But we got a lot of other award shows coming up from that. I think the BAFTAs and some of the others. But what I think is important is, if you like these actors, speak out about it. Talk about it. Let people know. If you haven't watched their shows, watch their shows. The Gilded Age better get something. Let me tell you why. Because that is a masterpiece. I love historical shows. I love shows that, have history behind it. And the Gilded Age, from the clothing that they wear to the storyline to even the first season was just regular rich white people. Good storyline, though. Then you ended up in season two, when you start meeting the black rich people of that time. And then in season three, we get down to the nitty gritty and we're seeing everybody. So that's kind of dope. I think that it's a good show. It's just as good as Bridgerton. And Bridgerton is excellent, in my opinion, also, which I think is coming back. But I think if you're going to watch things, let it feed you, you know, not just in mindlessness, but in also kind of education. I think that's kind of important. I thought that's good. That's why I think you should watch Washington Black also. I think that there are a lot of good programs out there. Some you learn from, you know, some you watch and just laugh, it just tickles you. Some is scared the crap out of you, because Alien Earth scared, it was a jump scare, and I was tickled and I love it. Okay, because I was like,
oh no, what is,
they did a good job. And it was reimagined. That's the thing for me. I like when people reimagine things because it shows you're thinking out of the box and you're looking at a future in movie making that maybe other people didn't see it that way. But now, you know, oh, wow, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the sense, you know, and taking the body, taking the mind or emotion, you know, from a human being and putting it in the body of a non-living entity who thinks that they're human. I mean, it's just brilliant, just brilliant, just brilliant. I mean, sure, it's been done many, many different ways before, but I think in this and with the aliens, if you haven't seen Alien Earth, watch it, and you should watch it before we talk about it next Saturday because it's going to be spoilers because that's what we do. Okay, so I want to know, what are you reading? I know there's a lot of good books out there that you're checking out, Ms. Jewel, and so what is it that you are reading?
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's only two that I really want to spotlight, and that is, well, I mean, the one that I want to, that I really want to discuss and talk about is kind of hotly controversial, and that's 107 Days by Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm reading it, and it's making me laugh, cry, be angry, and I'm loving it. I really am loving it. I was supposed to get it. I pre-ordered it early, and I was supposed to get it right on the day that it was supposed to arrive, and it said that it wasn't, and so I was like, forget that, and I got an ebook, so I started eating it up. Through the ebook. I'm more than halfway through it, and I'm really loving that. Like I said, I'm reading quite a few, but I'm not hitting anything new at the moment other than that one. I think that one is taking up and preoccupying my time all the way through. And I really want to just dissect it, pick it up, and just absorb it. Thank you for bringing up The Washington Black. It really is it's a great show, and I can't wait for when we do the podcast. And you really guys should get the book as well. And like I said, the Stephen King, The Monkey, I believe it's on Hulu, but it's part of the little novels, the little short stories that came in the bigger, almost like an anthology called Skeleton Crew. And it's in the same book where The Mist is, and the reference to Tommyknockers was first brought up, which was the revelation of Becca Paulson. And it's in the compilation of that. But those are the ones that I'm reading at the moment. I really want to just delve into something that, I don't know. I'm usually not into historical works unless I want to learn something. And I think where we are right now, I wanted to learn why we're here, what was experienced, what did I not see, and what did I did see. And that 107 Days by Vice President Kamala Harris is telling. It is hitting the mark, and I'm really loving it. What I would love to talk about is games. Are you playing any games? Expecting any games? What are you up to in the game market?
Well, I'm reading 107 Days too. Okay, so I just want to share that before I talk about the games. But yes, I'm reading 107 Days too. I think it's important. I think for all the reasons that you said, and I'm actually listening to it because there's a controversy about listening versus reading. I do both, but at let's just be clear. I believe that however you get the information and absorb the information is important. Some people can't, you know, please get the book though. I got a signed book. I'm super excited about it. But, you know, if you have a problem with your eyes, sometimes you need to be able to listen. That's how cool the Audible technology or whatever you're using to listen to your ebooks or books is important. But I'm glad you brought up games. And for me, I'm big on games. Okay. And I'm super excited because Ghost of Yote is coming out. Y-O-T-E-I. It's coming out October the 2nd. I've been talking about this with Jewel. I'm like, I want to talk about Ghost of Yote. It's coming out. I want to talk about Ghost of Yote. It's coming out. Because I played Ghost of Tsushima. I thought it was the most beautiful game besides next to, I'll say next to Horizon Forbidden West, which map is incredibly beautiful. And of course, I'm a huge fan of Assassin's Creed. So all the Assassin's Creed, but Assassin's Creed is historical and quite brilliant. And I played Wukong before, and that game was hard and it was great. And it reminded me of why I like to play video games. I had started getting bored because the games were so simple and so easy. You finish them, you know, get through them. And of course, I mean, you know, people who are into competition and things like that, I play games for a different reason. I like to see how the devs think. I like to see how the maps, I like to see how I play, because I'm competing against myself. And I liked storylines, and I love that games are becoming very storyboard oriented. I remember where games were just action oriented. Like I'm a Metal Gear Solid fan, huge Metal Gear Solid fan, as a matter of fact, Splinter Cell, you know, I've played all of those games. But I realized I wanted more of a challenge. It became for me like, you know, I want the bosses to get harder, not easier. That's why Souls games are so cool. But I can't wait for this next one, this Ghost of Yote, because I think it is going, I really do. I've been reading a lot of the critics and the numbers, IGN and everything, and what they're saying about it. And I don't think it will disappoint. You know, sometimes people hype things up too much and it disappoints. But I will tell you, Ghost of Tsushima did not disappoint. I will tell you that Black Myth Wukong did not disappoint. It was beautiful, brilliant, fast-paced, hard, dope. It was very dope. Assassin's Creed Shadows is a good game, but it's a long game. And it's one of the better games. And I've been playing Assassin's Creed since the very first Assassin's Creed. So needless to say, I'm a huge fan. So I can't wait for Hex when that comes out. But Ghost of Yote, I'm a fan of Asian games. I think they do an incredible job. I think the developers put a lot of time into it. I think that they are very, 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 their games are clean, concise. Their maps are incredible, vast. And, you know, it's just the story takes you in. Not everybody likes the story, you know. Some people just want to be able to get in there and kill everything and take all your, you know, gold or whatever and play. But I like a good game that challenges me, challenges my mind, challenges my thought process, and has me really going, oh man, that's incredible. I can't believe it. You know, I felt like that when I first played the first Sinbad, and it was the first time you could jump in a game, right? You know, rappelling. I was like, that is amazing. And each time these devs are getting better and better and better. I don't like that the cost is going up, but I guess it's just the world we live in. I am someone who does not play. I like to have my hard physical copy of my game, you know, because as someone that understands computers, software dies or you could lose your game. I want to have a physical, if I pay for it, I want to be able to keep my game. I don't like all of this controversy around that, but let's irrespective, the game itself, I don't have any critique of the work. I respect the devs and what they put out there because they do that for us, the people playing the games. And that's a lot of work. In God of War, it was much more obvious to me the amount of work that was put in to change that game from the initial God of War until this last God of War. Just brilliant, just a lot of just intelligent artistic work. So I give the graphic designers and the devs and the actors that play in these games, the people that manage the script, a lot of credit, and I respect them and I thank them for making that available to us. I think I have a love and joy of the game and of games. And so I like when I see a good game. And for me, it's about that. So it's either a good game or a bad game. I don't critique the characters in the game because that is, to me, kind of weird. As a woman who has played male games pretty much my whole time in, you know, gaming, I don't think that that matters. What matters is, does the character move effectively when I, you know, use my, you know, dual sense? Is the character doing what it's supposed to do? If I want it to jump, is it jumping? Is the map easy to follow, or is the map going to require me to, you know, really think a lot? Is it a good, clear, concise map? Is it beautiful? I like art. I like good art. Is, you know, does the game speak to me after? Or after I finish it, am I just like over it? You know what I mean? Spider-Man got steadily better and better and better. You know, all of these games get better and better and better. And that is a testament to the creativity of the generation for this future coming up. But gaming is ageless, in my opinion. If you have a love for it, then you just love it. And, you know, for me, the only valid critique is, this game is too sticky. This game is too slow. This game did not meet the mark. You know, everything else is a personal or thing. And I think that's all determined by you as a gamer and how you like to play. I've never had a beef playing character, because the character that's supposed to be in the game is the character I'm going to play. And as long as the character is strong enough to kill everything in its wake, then I'm okay to fight and kill the monsters. That's the importance of the game for me. And so these last three games I mentioned, I think were my favorite in so far in this last couple of years. And like I said, if you haven't played it, please get it. But Ghost of Yote is coming out October the 2nd, and I have a feeling it won't disappoint. So I'm super, super excited about that. Jewel?
Thank you so much. I really love to hear you discuss your gameplay, the method in which you critique and enjoy games, and what you find most important and thrilling. I respect you so much in terms of your expertise and how long you've been doing this, and I'm so happy to hear from you and every excitement and enjoyment. So thank you so much. I thank you for just being willing to be here to do this. For me, I agree with a lot of what you've said in terms of games. I think gaming is for everyone, and I personally like all sorts of games. I like chillax games. I like adventure games, mystery games, puzzle games, bloody gore games, shoot 'em up games, first person shooter, even side scrollers. I like, whether it's on the PC, a game system, and beyond. I am so here for it all, and I hope all of you enjoy all types of games, so that there's an array and a vast, never-ending amount to pick and choose from. I have a few that I have on my list to discuss, and it actually goes from beginning all the way to the end. I would be remiss of me to say nothing about Minecraft, since today is Minecraft Live update today as we're speaking. It is, it would be silly of me not to mention it, because it is the most popular game of the entire world and the entire planet. As per specs, I will also say I do not play the game, but I know a lot of people that do. So shout out to you guys enjoying it today. I hope you enjoy all the new drops and all the new things that are coming out. I have it on good authority. And yeah, spoiler, sorry, that you may have some zombie horses that actually matter now, and you're going to be able to see and do things with other things and mobs that are coming into town. So yay, Minecraft Live today. Amazing. But again, the things that I have on my list, Wobbly Life, again, I'm going to go through from cool chillaxing all the way to not so cool chillaxing, but totally in depth, amazing, and still cool. Wobbly Life is an all players, family friendly, immersive little game, independent game that I really, really love. And they are finally launching no longer beta, and launched on September 18th. And with it came the space exploration expansion. You can train to be an astronaut for Wobbly Space and Wobbly Space Center. You have a space license to qualify for zero gravity adventures. You discover new missions. I think Granny might be in space. There are jobs, locations, even new money currencies that you have to work with. And remember, you can always play on your own or co-op it. And it's a really fun, amazing rubber band little game for the whole entire family and friends to enjoy. Now there's a new beta game that hit my eyes a few weeks ago, and I was like, huh, what's that? That looks interesting. And it's very cartoony, but looks like it would be interesting. It's called Usual June. And if I were to describe it from their own description, it's about a young Black girl who's doing mysteries with the living and the dead. She has a best friend that's alive and a best friend that's not so alive. And it's multidimensional. There's a lot of gameplay, puzzles, and fighting and combat, but it's very cartoonish, so it's not going to be something like Left 4 Dead or even, you know, Assassin's Creed or anything like that. It's very cartoony, fun graphics and not serious. Let's just get to it, because I like those games too. It's a demo for now. I downloaded it. I tested it out. So please don't complain about it yet. There's so many things that they're working on. You can't get through too much of it. But for now, the graphics look pretty cute, and I'm interested to see where they go with this. I'm going to say Palia. Palia's out there. It's a life simulation, massively multiplayer online game. It was developed and published by Singularity 6. It is in open beta, and that started in 2023. You could have played it on Microsoft Windows and Nintendo Switch, but now it's all the way through to Xbox X, S, and PlayStation 5. It's a cute little game. They just had a new patch 2 months ago. You have pets, you have quests, you have open expansive realms, and a lot of cool little fictional magical things that you interact with real life players and NPCs throughout. It's not too difficult, and there's no gore in sight, but a lot of little cute quests to complete, and it's a real nice, chillax game. Now, the last one is Hell Is Us. Hell Is Us, for me, serious, brand new, just dropped September 4th. It is an action-adventure game developed by Rogue Factor, published by Nacon. It was released for PlayStation 5, Windows, and Xbox Series XS, again, September 4th. And I will say, warning, please, the game takes place in Hadia, and it's called Hell Is Us because, well, human beings are the creators of hell. And so it covers a lot of thematic things that are not exactly great. So we're talking about murder, crimes, and a whole lot of other things that are not great. So if you like dark, if you like gloomy, if you like broody, if you like gothic, and you like action-packed adventure, Hell Is Us. I've played it for a few hours already. It's unique because it's one of the games that does not have a map, and it will never have a map. There are no waypoints. There's no maps. You just have to remember, take notes, have a notepad with you, write things down. The entire thing happens in terms of recollection memory. You wake up, and you're being interrogated by something that doesn't quite look human. It looks like a cross between a human and Jabba the Hutt. So you already know something's not right. They're interrogating you with truth serum, and you go back in your memory to try and remember how you got out of the enclosure. Something apocalyptic happened. You're not quite sure what until you go through the game. And then you're fighting creatures from another realm. They look humanoid. And it's full of puzzles. I think that's one of the things that I really, really like about the game. You're not necessarily leveling up, but the weapons that you use level up, which is an interesting twist and dynamic, as opposed to breaking and being encumbered by the things you're wearing. Everything does have a weight, and you know, you're eventually going to be encumbered, but the weapons you use level up. And that makes sense because if you're fighting based on memory recollection, it's not you at the moment, you're trying to remember how you got from point A to point B, then it doesn't make sense that you had to like all of a sudden find a new weapon, but it makes sense that you got more proficient and you got better at using it. A lot of magic, a lot of gruesome things, a lot of darkness. So if you're watching it and if you're playing it, it's called Hell Is Us for a reason. It's not for the kiddos, and there's some huge adult themes all the way through. So far, that's it. Like I said, we have Minecraft Live today with lots of drops and new mobs. We have a beta test that demo they could test out for Usual June. Palia has been out there for a hot minute now, and with a few little patches. Hell Is Us just dropped September 5th, And then Wobbly Life, guys. Space. And if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, space. Nikita.
That's a lot. And, well, look, I think it's, I think we're very varied between what we like, and I'm glad you put that out there. I hope you all took notes. She gave a lot of really good games, and a lot of good information, where I think it's important that, you know, games have gotten kind of deep, you know what I'm saying? So make sure you don't have your kids playing games that they shouldn't play. I think that's cool. I'm curious if, is it a Souls type game? I don't, you know, I haven't heard of it. So, and I just went through my whole PlayStation thing. So,
yeah, I actually saw it on PlayStation as it was being. I think there was an ad on it, and the graphics is what really got me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a spooky game, and I didn't even know and hadn't heard of it. So I watched the graphics a bit more. I looked it up. It seems very Soul, Dark Souls-ish. There's not.
You know, I'm a fan of Dark Souls. Huge fan.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna like it though, because it seems right now. I didn't want to knock it because it's very, very new. But I will say that it is very clunky at the moment, and I don't know if it's because I don't know if it's by design that it's clunky, because you're coming out of this. Like I said, you wake up and you're drugged, you've been beaten, you've been bruised, you've been battered. And there's this humanoid figure smoking a cigarette, letting you know that they could have easily ripped you to parts, but they were told to use the truth serum on you because they want to know how you got out of the enclosure. And you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean enclosure? Why don't you look human? And then you realize that you don't remember anything and there's no map. And this is one of the things where it's not one of those, yeah, we know gamers like maps, and we'll get to it eventually in the DC, in the download content and DLC. But no, they did that intentionally. You're never going to have a map in this game, and you're never going to have waypoints per se. You can save your progress anywhere you are. So there are points to save. But there's not places where you're like, okay, I want to start here, and then I want to start there and teleport me there, or, man, I really want to redo that other thing. It's open world. It does seem very Dark Souls. It has that gloom, very ominous feeling, and it has the battle like it, very, very much so like that. But again, I'm not too far into it. I just like the graphics. It was very goth, very The Crow, very Dark Souls, very edgy, and a lot of puzzles. There's a lot of puzzles involved, and you have to remember those things. There's also not a HUD. There's not a lot of bulky graphics in front of you. You can either be visualizing yourself, or, you know, go first person view, as a lot of games have already incorporated, but there's not a lot of help. You have to go through this yourself. I'm already seeing that as you fight the mobs and the NPCs and the things that you're getting through, I'm assuming that gameplay may not be too challenging the more I go through it. But for now, we'll see. I never go full on blood, gore, hardest level possible. And I never go wimpy. Yeah, help me out with everything. I usually want to hear the story. So I'm the type of gamer that gets the middle of the, which one do you want to do? Because I want to know, what were they thinking when they thought of this game? Did you just think, go from point A to point B? We're going to slice up five different, you know, hellhounds. We're going to, you know, make sure that we talk to four different people. Or did you actually put in lore and value into it for me to enjoy? So we'll see. I haven't really gotten through it. And the advertisement was there on PlayStation. And I was like, whoa, that graphic is pretty dope. You have a droid. A drone that follows you everywhere you go, that sits on your shoulder like a crone. And you have like a soul sword. But you pick up other weapons along the way. I've already gotten dual swords. And they level up as you go. So I kind of like that. I like the idea that as you continue with your game, you become more proficient with your weapon, because that makes sense, right? I got the idea of your weapon breaking as you're playing, because that too makes sense. But as you're playing and you're equipping, like The Last of Us, you know, you can always upgrade your weapon. When you find your stations, you have enough equipment, you can upgrade it, make it better, have a better sight, make it less draft or sway or all these other things that you have with your weapons, and file it away or whatever. But in this particular one, I think it's how you use it that allows you to level it up. So far, I haven't gotten any stations to make them better, but you can imbue them with spells and energy. It's screaming a lot of magic fantasy, and it's screaming a lot of like necromancy. So there are a lot of things to imbue your armor and your weapons. So we'll see. Like I said, haven't played it for very long, but it looks creepy. Very, very creepy. Hell is us.
I'm going to check that out. You know, maps are relatively new in gaming, and I'm sure you're old enough to remember this too. You know, you didn't really start seeing that until around BioShock and Borderlands, and then Souls games. I think in Infamous and Uncharted, really important, but really, you know, old school, get out there and find it. I like this Assassin's Creed. You kind of build the map out. So I like open world. So that kind of intrigues me a little bit and allows me to be interested. And also the HUD, I am not, you know, I had to get used to that. When playing BioShock for the first time, and then of course we all know that in Assassin's Creed, right? You know, it became a thing. And then you have Borderlands, which, by the way, I'm glad you brought up The Last of Us, another great game that did very well in its transition from gaming to movie. You know, remember in the last Rewind we discussed where they don't normally do a very good job of that. You know who else? Another good show was Borderlands. They did a good job with that. I mean, I'm going to give Jack the Jacket, as I said. You know, when you do a good job, it needs to be said as that. I don't know that a lot of people like the storylines, but I do. You know, I like a good story, and I like to follow it along. And I'm going to tell you something. The Last of Us, I cried. I laughed. I was, like, stressed out. The monsters looked really real and unnerving. You know, I'm a Resident Evil fan. Besides watching the movies and playing the games, I've played Resident Evil in VR, scared the heebie-jeebies out of me, made sure that I didn't play that game anymore in the VR, because it was too realistic and I thought someone was touching me and off my shoulders and I didn't want to play. So, and that was in the daylight. So, you know, when they have a good game, and so I'm interested in that, and your description of it makes me curious. So I think that's dope. Now, I watch State of Play, and I'm interested in this game that's going to be coming out, because I play Returnal and I really enjoy Returnal. It is a very intense game. It is very visually amazing and has a lot of cool things, you know. So if you play a game like Returnal, then you will like, I believe, because when I saw it, the first thing I thought was, oh, Returnal, Saros, Saros, that will be coming out next year. So a lot of good games coming up. I think Sony or PlayStation is really giving us a run for our money and something good to enjoy. And that's for all. I mean, I can't speak for the other platforms. I'm a PlayStation fan. I'm not a fan of Xbox. But if you like Xbox, I feel like this. You play your game where you want to play your game, whether it's on a computer, because I started out playing on a computer, whether it's on an Xbox. It just happens to not be my favorite because I'm left-handed, and I truly believe that is not for a left-handed person. I am a PlayStation person. I've played every generation of PlayStation, and I think it's cool. Play your game where you play your game, and I'm happy for you just because you're playing the game. I just think it's so important. You know, if that's your thing, and a lot of people have a misconception about gamers, and I think that's unfortunate, because games can sharpen your mind, stay your focus, you know, because there are games with puzzles, as Jewel just said. There are games for kids. Kids learn hand-eye mobility. They're using games in the VA. They're using VR in order to help veterans who have memory issues. So I think it's important. I think that I hope games hang around. I hope people don't buy into some of the nonsense. It's not my fault you can't play. Okay, but don't take it away from anyone else. I'm a huge Halo person. I played Halo back in the day. I think that it doesn't have to be violent. Now that I don't cosign, you know. I think that you have to use logic and common sense. I also read books too, you know, and live life. Games are not real life. They are just games, and games are for you to enjoy. And I think that's important. I get concerned when I read things about, you know, games that I think are good for kids, like Roblox. Let's not make these games more mature than they need to be. There are games for children, there are games for teenagers, and there are games for everybody. Okay. I think that that's important. I love to see when families play games. I think that helps, you know, kind of bring the family together, bring the community together. There are so many new games out there. And I am always happy when it's games that have women as a lead. You know, like when the first Tomb Raider came out, I was like, yeah, let's do that. I never would have thought in my life of living that people would have these little pesky little ideas about gaming. I mean, negative. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's a game and game to enjoy. Just like you play spades, just like you play checkers, just like I spent a lot of time in the arcade. You know, I love Mortal Kombat. You know what I'm saying? finish them. I love games that help me in my mobility. I love games that help me to think, you know, and to, you know, see things in a new and ingenious way. I hope that some devs come out with these games that are even more VR, you know. Virtual reality is brilliant and smart, and I wish more people liked virtual reality. But that's going to take time, I think. But I think it, more people need to speak positively about games so that we can continue to have good games for decades to come, because PlayStation will only get better, I think, and so will Xbox, and another company will probably come up in the future, and everybody will run to that because FOMO. So thank you, Jewel, for bringing out those excellent games and your excellent critique of those games, because I'm very curious. Those things make me curious, just like the movies make me curious. You know, sometimes we get stuck and locked into what we like and don't like. I think it's important to share. If someone suggests a movie to me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to watch it. It may take me a while to get to it, because like I always say, life be life. But, you know, I like things that pique my interest. I like things I can learn from. I like things that I can laugh from. And I like things that make me scare, because I love vampire movies and vampire books and historical books. And I like creative books. My sister got me, and I wasn't almost didn't talk about this, but I think it's kind of important. For my family knows me very well. I got an Assassin's Creed book about 2 years ago. This year, my sister got me a book, it's just really quite beautiful. My Night Skin, original illustrations by Mike Toney, Toney. And it's a signed copy. It proves just how much my family knows me. It's really just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book. It's an art concept book. I hope you all support him. He's an independent guy. He's an illustrator and creative director who does anime. From series like, and some of you may be familiar with these series, Escaflowne, Hunter by Hunter, Yu Yu Hakusho, and this is a collection of all of his work inspired by the movement of Black cosplayers, artists, and content creators embracing their talent. And I think that's just beautiful. And since he's a freelance artist, he's done work for the Cartoon Network, Sony Pictures, and Marvel Studios' Black Panther. I think that's pretty dope. But his art is just beautiful, just beautiful. And I was just really just so happy that my sister got me this. It's just really, really a beautiful book, because I'm a blurb. I'm a nerdy, nerdy blurb. And I get excited by things like that. I get excited by creativity. I get excited by brilliance and nuance and the new ideas and reimagining of new things. I've read so many just really cool books that had me going, wow, I never would have thought of that. I read a book where a young author reimagined Cinderella. It was just genius. And I read a book called Slay, which I talk about all the time to Jewel, which it was like in my top five as far as books go. You know, I don't believe that, you know, we have the right to tell people what they can enjoy. I enjoy a lot of things. You know, there's a new book out now called Bones at the Crossroad by Ladarian Williams. This book is about a Black sorcerer at HBCU, a black witching school, so to speak. And I think it's I think that's kind of dope, you know. And sorry about that. I think it's a smart written book, but there's also other books like that. I don't want to say like that, but I want us to read many, many different books about us. And I think that kind of stuff is kind of important. I mean, I could turn you on to books I like, you know, by J.R. Ward, but some of you are not mature enough. Okay. I'm a big, you know, fan of vampire books, as I've said before, you know, and I read a lot about the Black Dagger Brotherhood. For those of you who are the fans of Black Dagger Brotherhood, you know what I'm saying? But I also like books like about us, like This Wicked Fate by Kaylin Byron or Cast by Isabel Wilkerson. So I go from one end to the other spectrum, just like Jewel. And I think that's why Jewel and I are friends, because we're able to look at things in a broad way without the bias of, of judgment, you know, because I believe that reading is for everyone. Not just that reading is fundamental, but that reading is for everyone. Find your joy where you find your joy, you know, and I think that's important. And if I can put an author out there and help that author, I will. You know, and I think it's important to say, hey, I like this. I hope you read it. Check it out. You know, you may or you may not check it out, but I hope you at least think about it and, you know, tell someone else, hey, I heard about this nerd book, you know, check it out. These two birds talked about it, or this TV show, you know. I think that's dope. And I think it allows more people to speak out and these shows stay on the air longer or get a second season, like, you know, the TV shows that Jewel are watching. I'm actually, you know, watching this doctor show. What's the name of it, Jewel?
The Pit. Are we talking about The Pit?
Yeah. You know, she was watching that and I was like, oh, not another doctor show. But, you know, I started watching. I'm like, oh my God, it's really good. So I understand why it won an Emmy now. I really do. And I'm like, it really is good. So now I'm getting hooked on these things, you know, because sometimes I can be real, like, I'm not watching that. I can be really like that. I don't want to spend my time watching that. I want to watch something else. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check it out because she hasn't missed yet, you know, and I appreciate that. I don't know that she likes so much stuff that I kind of throw her away, but I'm super glad she watched The Gilded Age because I thought it was important, and I also think it's really, really good. And I wanted to continue being on TV. So many of our shows, you know, get canceled, and then you're like, "What? Why are you canceling that?" You know, I mean, it just blows my mind. So the more we talk about it, the more it stays. Jewel.
Wow. I think there's only been two shows out of like 11 million shows you told me to watch that I have yet to get to, but I'm still getting to them. So I call shenanigans on that one. And I won't go any further into that, but it's important that we get to see the shows that we enjoy, but it also is very important that we get to keep the shows that star us in it, because as we know, in the time and frame that we're in, it's kind of hard to see shows with us or with a diverse cast that gets to stay. For example, I'm very upset that Peacock canceled Bound, because it was mostly, it was a black woman lead,
Same. I had to say next. Same.
Yeah. And so I'm still hoping somebody else will pick it up because it is so, it's such a great show and it was worth continuing. Irrational hasn't been renewed yet. Again, black male lead and his sister is like the co-star and his ex-wife is also a co-star. The ensemble is great. Do not cancel that show. Bring it back. Bring the next season. It's time. It's been a hot minute. And, you know, look, I had Brilliant Minds. Season 2 is coming back and that's wonderful. I love Quinto. Sure. He's not bad. And I personally like the show. I will say I would trade it in for Found a million times over. So if we have to pick and choose, I'm going to say we have quite a few Mentalist and type shows, but we don't have many spotlighting the fact that young black women or children go missing and no one's there finding them. And here is this black woman character acknowledging that this happens and who's advocating to find them. So, you know, it's important. So this rewind is really important. I'm really glad that Nikita came up with it as an idea. And I'm just always grateful to be beside her to make sure that this is something that not just succeeds, but that other people are interested in too, because we want to know, what are you watching? What are you playing? What are you reading? And can we get in on that too? We can't be gatekeeping everything. This isn't one of those, I know what this is and it's great, because then we won't have it in longevity and for posterity. You know, we want to be able to keep it for many, many seasons and, you know, pass those books down to your friends, your best friends, your friends' friends, yeah, all sorts of people. Share it. Share the love. Share the enjoyment. And especially in times like these, we need something more to delve into. And so what are you guys listening to? What are you watching? What have you enjoyed? Have you seen anything that we said and talked about? And if so, which ones did you like? Give us a shout out. Give us a holler. Thanks, Nikita.
Thanks, Jewel. I felt like that about The Equalizer, too, by the way. I'm very upset they canceled The Equalizer. I know you can hear it in my voice. I'm pretty upset about that. Stellar production by Queen Latifah. And so maybe somebody needs to rethink that. I don't know who makes these decisions, but they sound like a bunch of Bobo heads. they need to really think about it. So, yeah, appreciate that. Found is an excellent TV series. It's very harmful, I believe, when you know what's going on out in the world and you don't give people the opportunity to have a show on TV that highlights that. That's a real thing. And black women matter and children matter. And I think that's important, but even more, and I think even more important for the actors and the people that are hired for these shows, it employs them. The message is great. It's good. It's clean. It's not, you know, it's not some of the slush out there that you wonder why it's still there 100 million years later. You can only watch so many of these. Brilliant Minds to me is like House, right? So Mentalist was a perfect example, but, you know, I think that's why it doesn't really capture my attention, even though I like Zachary Quinto a lot, actually. But for me, I don't want to see another show like that. I want to see the shows that I'm watching that you keep canceling. That's what I want to see, just so you know. Okay. So thank you for bringing that up, Jewel. And thank you also for this rewind. I think this was an important rewind. I think as we do these and put it out there, you may find, oh man, let's go check this out. Or I didn't think about that. Or wow, that sounds really good. Or, yeah, I saw that. That was trash. Well, why was it trash? Let me know. Because, you know, what they say, one man's trash is another man's gold or whatever, however they put that. So, thank you, Jewel. We're going to wrap this up because we're just bringing in the things that we're watching, what we're going to be watching, what we're reading, what we think you should be reading, the games we're playing or the games that are coming out, the things that we like. And, you know, I think that's important. I think it's important to share, just like Jewel said. There are so many people out there. I see it all the time on my timeline. Oh, by the way, Sister Act, Sun Netflix, check it out. let's keep that one going. Make that one do. I love Sister Act. Whoopi Go. So that's on Netflix right now. So I think that we should, you know, share these things and have people, you know, push it. If we don't support it in the theater, on these streaming services, at the, do libraries still exist, you know, at the bookstore with our dollars, they won't think it's important to us, you know, as blurreds, as Black nerds, representation matters. It's important, you know, just like just seeing yourself and seeing people that represent the things that you believe in or that, you know, is important. And it's just makes money and it makes sense. And I know that these people like money because capitalism is real. So show them by watching these things, by supporting these things, and whether they be movies, whether they be books, whether they be music, whether they be video games. I think it's important. I was very upset that Forspoken, it just didn't get a chance. I think the game needed to be tightened up a little bit, but it had a Black female lead. It's had magic in the game. It had everything in it. I played the beta first and then I played the game itself. I just think it's just, I believe like Horizon in a couple of years, that game is going to come back and do incredibly well. It took almost 7 years for people to find. I found Horizon on a discount. It became Horizon Forbidden West became my favorite game of like during COVID. My favorite game. It was beautiful. It was magnificent. And it won a game awards. So it may just take a while for people to find the magic in the games that I find magic in. But I hope that more people honestly play games and play them because they're games and gaming is fun. Watch movies because movies are fun. Watch TV shows because TV shows are fun. Read books because books sharpen your mind and books are fun. Reading is fun. All of these things are another aspect of living, being, growing, just like travel. So hopefully we'll see you next time on The Rewind. We wanted to share that. Again, I'm Nikita and
I'm Jewel.
See you next time on The Rewind. Have a great day, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.